Congregation, the text for this evening's hour's worship service is from Isaiah 65, the verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2, where we read as follows. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. So far. The Gospel for Jew and Gentile. The Gospel for Jew and Gentile. Three thoughts. In the first place, hope for the Gentiles. First one is a mission text. First one is about the Gentiles. Just listen to that. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I found them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Not like Israel, a nation not called by my name. Hope for the Gentiles. I will later prove that. The first one is a mission text. Secondly, the willingness to save the Jews. Although in the past tense, in the perfect tense, I have, but nevertheless, I have spread out my hands all the day unto rebellious people. Which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. So the Lord's willingness to save the Jews. And then in the third place, the gospel for us tonight. Kind of an application. So the gospel for Jew and Gentile. Hope for the Gentiles. The willingness to save the Jews. And the gospel for us. Congregation, I don't think we can understand our text well if we do not take into consideration what we read in the previous chapter, 64. 64 is a prayer, isn't it? Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. It's a prayer. 64 is a prayer of the people of Israel because they have heard the sermons of Isaiah about captivity, about being destroyed, about the city of Jerusalem being in ruins. And they took that to heart and they said, oh, what's going to happen? And we read it at the end of the chapter. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, art thou? We are the clay, thou art the potter, you're all the work of thy hands. Be not wroth, very sore. That's a prayer. And how does that sound? We are all thy people. That's what I read in verse 9 of the previous chapter. We are all thy people. Lord, come, save us. We are thy people. Thou art our Father after all. And thy holy cities are a wilderness. Our holy, our beautiful house. And our Father's praise is burned with fire. Will thou refrain thyself, O Lord? Will thou hold thy peace? Afflict us very sore. So it's a cry to God. What's the answer? You would not expect that, probably. The Lord is saying, you're saying you're my people? You're saying I'm your Father? You're saying, why so wroth against us? As there is no reason for this, but well, listen to this. This is the answer. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me not to you. But I say and I've said, behold me to a nation that was not called by my name. In other words, the Lord is saying, Israel, you're complaining, you're crying, I'm turning to Gentiles. You're saying, be not so wroth with us, you're thy people. I'm going somewhere else. I am to be found and I will be found by a people that's not called after my name. That's quite a cold shoulder, isn't it? Is the Lord like that? So the people say, we are thy people, and pleading upon the covenant, the Lord saying, no, it's over. I'm going somewhere else. I'm turning to the Gentiles. Maybe someone of you would say, are you sure, Reverend? Are you sure, Pastor, this is the explanation? Well, I have a commentary at home. It says this, that verse 1 is kind of that cold shoulder of Israel, kind of about the Gentiles, not about the Jewish people, and that commentary that I have is infallible. And that commentary is the commentary you have at home as well. And the commentary is the New Testament. And I read in the New Testament, in Romans 10. Well, this is quoted. Romans 10, verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was manifest unto them that asked not for me. He was very bold. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to disobedient and gainsaying people. I read in Romans 10, verse 20 and 20, a contrast. And it's explained so beautifully that the Lord is saying to Israel, I don't have to listen to you anymore. You have had your time. I'm turning to the Gentiles now. Those natural branches are cut off, taken away. I'm going to engraft wild branches into the olive tree. To the Gentiles. Origenes, one of the church fathers, wrote that this text, Isaiah 65 as well, made the Jewish people so terribly angry with Isaiah that they put him in a hollow tree and cut him in pieces. Because this was so offensive to them, they're asking, why are thou so wroth? We are thy people. And Isaiah says, thy people. The Lord saying, I'm turning to people that are not called after my name. They got so mad, so offended they were. They didn't want to hear this. They wanted to hear, of course the Lord will be merciful unto you and remember his covenant. That's what they're counting on. Accounting that the Lord will yet remember them. Kind of haughty in that sense. A mission text. Sought of them that ask not for me. You can also read it this way, as some other translations do. Because it's a little confusing. I'm sought of them that ask not for me. So that not asking and seeking, what is this? I don't understand. Are you? I'm sought of them. They're seeking me without asking for me. So some say you have to read, I am ready to be sought of them. I'm willing to be sought of them by a people that ask not for me. The Lord opened the doors to them who are not asking for him. They did not go to church. They did not go to the temple. They did not pray. They didn't read the Bible. They didn't do anything. The Lord is saying, and I'm available, I'm preaching grace to a people that is not called after my name. I'm going somewhere else, into mission posts, where people don't know anything, don't ask for me. And I'm going to say, I am ready to be found, I'm ready to be sought by people not asking for me. In other words, the Lord gives permission to seek him. He said, come seek me. To people not seeking him. Lord saying, you're not called after my name, but I yet call you. By surprise. Don't think I only bother about the people of Israel, I bother about you. Mission text. So, if someone feels a calling to become a missionary, this might be a precious text for you, right? If you feel something of that pull, feel something of that calling to go to a people that is not called after his name and are not asking for him, and then to preaching unto them that the Lord wants to be found by them that seek not for him. You know, when I read text like this and preach like this, and I feel something like, this is God speaking. This is something nobody could have invented and come up with. This is divine, this is biblical, this is so unique, this is so profound, this is so different from all religions. The Lord saying, I am a God who is willing to be found by people that is not seeking me. Now, before we go to the second thought, maybe someone here in church feels Gentile. And maybe you're not from this church, maybe you're a visitor, maybe you're just casual here. Or maybe you have been raised in this church, and yet you feel kind of a pagan in church. You feel kind of, all those people are pious and busy with those things and seriously minded, but I'm an atheist. It's possible. And it's a hard thing for a young person to say that. Dad, Mom, I don't believe in anything anymore. They don't say that too easily. Maybe that's the other case. It's possible. Someone just don't believe a word of it. Just, I don't know. Is this all true? So many people are wrong and we are right? Really? Those serious, profound doubts that you feel a pagan in church. The Lord knows you. And the Lord is saying, I'm willing to be found by a people that's not asking for me. That never opens the Bible in secret. That hardly prays seriously. They just pretend. The Lord is saying, I'm asking for you tonight. I'm asking for a pagan. I'm asking for a Gentile. I'm asking for someone that's not asking for me. And then I'm saying, the door is open for such a people. And this is a mission service to people that feel outside of the church and don't feel part of the church at all anymore. You don't feel part of the church? Well, let me say it this way. Most of God's people, if not all, I think I can say all of those people sometimes have felt like and feel like the world, pagan, Gentile, not his people, feeling outside of the church and not part of God's flock, and feel rightly so, because they feel then I'm so ungodly, I do not belong to that people. And it becomes a wonder to them. So God loved the world, that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me will not perish. Does it say the world? I feel the world. It's exactly how I feel. You know Kolbrügge? You heard of Kolbrügge? One of the preachers in Germany? He said, if it would have said, so God loved his people, the Pharisees would have cheated and said, that's us. But now it says the world. Now God's people say, that's me. So God loved the world. Do you sometimes feel that way? You can't come any further than the world. Not God's people, but just nothing. Absolutely nothing. Cut off. Forlorn. Lost. What a privilege that in God's providence we may hear the gospel also tonight. For Gentiles. You don't have to qualify, you don't have to be baptized, you don't have to be circumcised, you don't have to have some knowledge. There are no qualifications. The Lord is saying tonight, I am willing and ready to be found by a people that's not asking for me. So in that sense, the Lord is first and reminding all of us that He is willing to save a people that is not called after His name. So God does not exclude any one of us tonight. And God reserves the right where the gospel must go. And the Lord has the right to say to the people of Israel at this time, no, you are going into captivity, no matter what. You can cry and lament and sigh, whatever you want. You can come with all the arguments. They are thy people. You are going into captivity. And I'm turning to a people not called after my name. Oh, that also happened later on. When the people of Israel were punished with the fall of Jerusalem in the year 70 after Christ. So tonight, young friends, you indifferent one, yeah? The Lord knows you. You're indifferent, you're cold, worldly, the Lord knows you. Tonight, bow your knees, say, Lord, I've heard something tonight. I've heard what the Lord is saying, I'm willing to be found by people that are cold and worldly and don't care about anything. Lord, change my heart. I've heard that thou art willing to deal with me. That's consistent, that I have said so far, consistent with who the Lord Jesus was. Then he was on earth. Where did he turn to? To the publicans, to the sinners, to the adulterers. And tonight the Lord is turning to them, addicted to pornography. Yes, he's turning to you. The Lord knows what you're doing. You're stuck in sin. Lord is saying, I am ready to be found, I'm willing to be found by people, not called after my name, just living as a pagan. Seeking them that are lost. I mean, not feeling kind of piously, I feel so lost. No, really, really lost. The lost ones, the Lord is looking for the lost ones in the congregations and in this world. Brings to the second thought. I have spread out my hands all the day unto rebellious people, that which walketh in the way that was not good after their own thoughts. That's Israel. Romans 10. But to Israel, he saith to Israel, Israel, I'm turning to the Gentiles, but I like to remind you of the past. I remind you of how it has been all those years before. I have spread out my hands. Lord is not saying, I spread out my hands now. No, I have spread out my hands all the day to rebellious people. Spread out hands. Let us just go through this text. The Lord saying, I have. For all those years I dealt with the people of Israel, I have. Lord defending himself saying, I don't regret, but I remind you what I have done. I have. Not you have, I have. I have spread out my hands. Why do people spread out their hands? To hug, to welcome, to receive with open arms, or to pray to God with the hands up to God, Lord, oh come, welcoming God, praying to God. And so the Lord says, I have. The Lord does not say, you have. You have prayed for me. You have been asking for me. No, I've been asking for you. I have been begging you. I have been pleading with you, I have spread out my arms unto you, people of Israel, all those years. And you're complaining now and feeling kind of, the Lord should answer me, Lord should forgive us. What? forgive you. I have spread out all my hands all the day, my holy hands, my good hands. A holy, righteous, good-doing God has been spreading out his arms to the people of Israel all the day. So the Lord is praying. The Lord has been beseeching. The Lord has said, I beseech you. I pray you. I beg you. Return to me. I have spread out my hands. You didn't, but I have all the day unto rebellious people. There are in the Bible many different words for sin. Transgression, rebellion, iniquity, this sin, missing the point, missing the target, many different words. And this word rebellion is revolting, like a refractory, is that an old word? A refractory, unwilling heifer. It can also be translated as backsliding. You know, I'm not from a farm. I know very little of farms and cows. But is it true that some cows are very difficult to handle and it's dangerous and you better sell them as soon as possible? You better butcher them. And so in Israel there were some heifers and they were backsliding, stubborn heifers, refractory heifers, and they were shaken of the yoke. They're used also as farm animals to pull the cart and the plow, and some of them are so difficult to handle. You can't work with them. You better sell them. You get tired of them working a whole day with that miserable animal. You just rather take it someone else. You sell it or butcher it. And that's the word used here. So the Lord doesn't say, I spread out my hands into a nice people. But there's the people that have made some mistakes. People that is not that good, but the people that is revolting, that is refusing, that is has no use for this, is rebelling against me, and I have spread out my hands to rebellious people. Would you do that? How long would you be put up with an animal like that? For how many years would you try again and again and train the animal and get sick of it? And so the Lord says, no, I spread out my hands to a rebellious people. And he refers here to the people of Israel. But of course, we learn from that. We also take it to heart, I hope. Let me just mention a few texts from the Bible very close to this, with the word backsliding and revolting in there. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed him as a lamb in a large place. Changing it. Or I think of Proverbs 7 about an adulterous woman. She's loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Evil. Absolutely evil woman. Same word. And the Lord yet turns to them. Sometimes it's translating as revolting. It's revolting, that feeling of rebelling against God. Untamed. I read in God's word in Proverbs 1, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. I was looking over my sketch this afternoon and something popped up in my mind of Reverend Seidervelt. Have you ever heard of him? He was very much in favor of spreading the gospel among the Jewish people. And he was on one of the boats to England, from Holland to England. And he saw a whole group of Jewish people, you know, with those hats on and those special beards. And he thought, this is my chance. I'm going to talk to them. And he was not afraid of anyone. And he stood in front of them. And he started preaching to them. And they completely ignored him, as if he did not even exist. And he kept talking. Nobody just paid any attention, as if they were absolutely deaf. That's in our text. I've spread out my hands all the day to rebellious people. I have stretched out my hand and no man even regarded. That's the people of Israel described in our text. Or you know that text from the hen and the chicken, right? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which has sent to you, how often would I have gathered together thy children as a hen gathered the chicken on the wings, and ye would not. I spread out my hands all the day. That's quite a word. All the day. From the early morning, throughout the whole day, every day, all the days of my life. So it says, all the day, I did not stop begging you and spreading my hands out to you, people of Israel. I was always available. My door was always open, day and night, all the day. And you have all the day rebelled against me. It didn't stop. You loaded it up. The whole warehouse is filled with it. You stacked it before my face. Sin after sin rebelling against me. And I kept stretching out my hands to rebellious people that provoked me to the face. I have spread out my hands, holy hands. Did you hear that? Holy hands, good hands, precious hands, gospel hands, all the day of the rebellious people which walk in a way that was not good at all, after their own thoughts. We live in a time that people say, young people say, well, Dad, Mom, I don't see anything wrong with that. What's wrong with that? I just don't see that's wrong. But you know, it's not about how you feel. Maybe in today's culture and time we say, you know, what's wrong with that? But we should not go by our own thoughts and our own feelings and the imagination of our own heart, because the imagination of our heart is evil. You can't go by how you feel. What you feel doesn't count. It doesn't count at all. Sorry. So don't say to it, I don't see any sin, anything wrong with that. I don't care what you see. What does the Bible say? A way was not good after their own thoughts. The imagination of their own thoughts. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination, everything that surfaces, every imagination of the thoughts that are only evil. Come now, is it right? Is that the Bible? The Bible says. And the Lord says, and I have spread out my hands to such a people that can only sin, and there's no expectation from them. And I was willing to gather them together as a hen gathered the chicken in their wings. I've spared them and spared them and spared them. You know, this is about Israel in the first place. And if you would like to understand those verses, I think you need to read tonight a few chapters. If you have some time for that and willingness for that, the chapters, sometimes it's good to just read a few chapters in a row. Romans 9, 10, 11. Just read it. 9, 10, 11. It's about Israel. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness by the Holy Spirit that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, were Israelites, to whom pertained the adoption. They're an adopted people. Romans 9, verse 4, an adopted people. They received the glory, the covenants, the law, the services of God, the worship services, the promises. The Lord said, I did so much for that people. I spread out my hands all the day long and given them so much attention. And they would not. Many of those texts, I hope that some may be pricked in their hearts and say, I knew this, but I didn't know this. This is nothing new, but it's so new to me now. It just hits home. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I've nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Maybe you don't know how this feels. You're young yourself. You're a child yourself, a young person yourself. But you know, suppose you're a father. And you have spent so much on your child, your son, your daughter. You're just giving your heart, giving your attention, giving your love. You've done your best, and then you hardly see them anymore. They hardly phone you anymore. They speak evil of you. That hurts. Tremendously hurts. Then they step on your heart. And of course, we are also, as parents, not perfect. But you know, when they step on your heart, and so the Lord says, I have nourished, brought up children that have rebelled against me all the day. Or think of Stephen. He said something to the people of Israel. It's about Israel still, right? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Resisting the Holy Ghost. Can you? Can we resist the Holy Ghost? I thought the Holy Ghost was working irresistibly. And now Stephen says, ye always resist the Holy Ghost. How can you? How can you resist the Holy Ghost? Well, we can resist the common work of the Holy Spirit. We can. We always do. We always resist the common work of the Spirit. Lord, knock on the door. You hear the voice of God, you feel an impression, you feel warm, you feel jealous of God's people, you say, I need a new heart. And yet you turn against it again. Always resisting the Holy Ghost as your fathers also ye. So the will of God is not only the will of his decree, what he has decided upon in eternity, there's also another will. The will of his command, right? The Lord has not decided that you will obey his law, but he yet wants you to. Does the Lord want you to obey him or not? Of course the Lord wants you. So why don't we obey him then if the Lord wants me to obey? Well, he has decided things, but he also has an expressed will. And so there's also, some say, the will of his delight, what the Lord really likes, what he does not like at all. So the Lord comes with his word And he tells what he likes. And he tells what he commands. And he says, I seek you. I want you to seek me. I spread my hands. You're welcome with me. What a privilege is. How will we escape if we don't take heed upon such great salvation? What will it be? You have been so privileged, like the people of Israel, and maybe you as well. So privileged. Compared to others, unreal. And then, yet, rebelling against him and just going your own way, and half between two opinions, and sitting in church piously, but holding on to a bosom sin, not letting go, just continuing in your own life. You know, maybe a reformed sin that we don't talk so much about. Greed. Worldliness. Appearance. Being good people. The Lord knows the hearts. So the gospel for Jew and Gentile, he talked about the first thought for the Gentile. Hope for the Gentiles. Maybe you feel a Gentile sometimes. Some Gentiles in church tonight. Some atheists in church. The Lord says, I know you. I'm after you. And the Lord's saying about the people of Israel, I have in the past, I have stretched out my arms to a rebellious people. But now, the third thought, the gospel for us. Our third thought. First we sing. Psalm 308. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given in love and truth. Thou dost fulfill the counsels of thy sovereign will. 308, all verses.
Thank you.
congregation, let's come back to that text I mentioned before about the hen and the chicken. You would say, that's such a beautiful text. Wait a moment. What do you mean? Well, that the Lord is willing to gather the chicken under the wings. Wait a moment. Did you read the whole text? Did you read also the following verse? Let me quote the text again and the following verse as well. And just see how you interpret it now. You can get it combined. In Matthew 23, you can find it. In Matthew 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathers the chicken her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I have stretched out my hands, but I am not going to be merciful in that sense that Israel will be fine. No. You know, let me just go back to Romans. Romans 10 ends with Isaiah is very bold. And say, there was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. But to Israel he saith, all the day long have I stretched forth my hands to disobey and against saying people. I say then, has God cast away his people? That's how it sounds like. The Lord saying, that's what I have done. Not anymore. I have stretched out my hands to rebellious people. It's over now. So that's why Paul is saying, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I'm also an Israelite. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scriptures say of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Lord, they've killed their prophets, dig down their altars. I'm left alone. What say the answer of God? I've reserved to myself 7,000 men. Have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a remnant. But what we learn is this. The Lord is saying to the people of Israel, you have made it so bad that as a people, you go into captivity. But there is a remnant, only a remnant coming back. And so the people of Israel were also punished by the fall of Jerusalem, was destroyed in the year 70 after Christ. There is still a remnant. There is still a remnant. The people of Israel is still God's people. Although the Lord has stretched out his arms, the rebellious people, although they have made it so bad, the Lord says, as a people, as a nation, many were led into captivity. There is still a remnant. So that's why the Apostle Paul, when he went to all the different towns in what's now Turkey, he always went first where? Always. First went to the synagogue. Always. His Lord has not forgotten his people. And he disputed with the Jewish people and tried to prove to them that Christ is the Messiah. And some of them were converted by that. And then when they rebelled against it, then they turned to the Gentiles. And what about us today? Well, it's a serious message. The Lord could come with his judgment and say, you've had enough gospel so far. And I throw the reins on the back of the horse. could say that. But could give us over as denominations, congregations, to the imagination of our own hearts. He could do that. There can come a point, the Lord says, it's enough. And still there is a remnant. You know, like Matthew 8, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall come, sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. Children of the kingdom be cast out. It's quite something. So the Lord has not forgotten his people. But if God did not spare the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continuest goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. So far, the Lord is privileging us. And the Lord is saying unto us also tonight, not only I have, but I do. The Lord is spreading out his arms, his holy good-doing arms, unto us rebellious people. What's the greatest rebellion? What's the greatest sin? What would you say? What's the greatest sin? What's the sin of sins? Unbelief. Ignoring the Lord Jesus Christ. I had one time in my life. I gave a present to someone for his birthday. He unwrapped it and threw it in my face. That was one time. Horrible. But that the Lord Jesus sent into the sin-cursed world and he. No use for him. Don't regard him. That's the sin of sins. That unbelief that is the mother of all sin. And yet the Lord says, in spite of that, I stretch yet my arms unto you, rebellious people. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Behold me, behold me. Do you see that? Let's go back to the text. Behold me, behold me. Look upon me. Seek me. Behold me. If you let the light of the New Testament shine on that text, behold me, it refers to the Lord Jesus saying, behold me then. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am salvation. There is no other name given among men. Behold me. I repeat it. Behold me. Tonight we hear that. The Savior. And I'm sought of them that ask not for me. But he asked. The Lord Jesus always asked. He was always praying. He was praying without ceasing, day and night, sometimes early in the morning, sometimes without any subject, just left the house to go into a place by himself. He prayed. He asked. I have spread out my hands all the day into rebellious people. He never rebelled. He was always obedient. He did not rebel under the rejection, under the cross, under the pain, under the wrath of God. He was so willing, like a lamb, like a sheep, for the shearer was dumb, not rebellious. Walk in a way that was not good. He walked in a way so good, so perfect. And you know, the Lord did not spread out his arms to him. The Lord is spreading out his arms to rebellious people, not to the Lord Jesus. And God the Father seemed to ignore his own son on the cross. So look the other way. Let him suffer by himself. And he cried out of his soul, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did not even want, in a sense, God the Father to stretch out his arms unto him, because he wanted to stretch out his arms unto sinners. himself. And that's why what you may hear tonight. That God still cares. And all we, that's a beautiful text, also for me personally, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. He's turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, of his entire church. That's gospel. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision is out in the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart. That's what counts. A new heart. So many privileges were given to the people of Israel. And they wasted it. And the Lord said, I'm turning to the world. And that's why the gospel is now all over this entire world. And the last tribes will be reached. But the people of Israel is still a remnant. And eventually, there'll be a tree. With natural branches and wild branches. And so Israel will be saved. God's people, Jew and Gentile, will be one flock and one shepherd. There'll be someday something. If he someday will die, we will, right? Did I say it in my prayer? I think I did. No, it's one of us will be first, right? Can be me. Can be you. Don't think of someone else. We sometimes have the feeling kind of, I'm invincible. It's not going to happen to me. I'm healthy. I'm careful on the road. Yet can happen to you. Can happen today. And then, if the Lord would say, if the time comes, I have stretched out my arms unto you, and you have not regarded. We have no idea how angry God will be. Because we have sinned against his love, sinned against the invitation, sinned against his goodness. So don't challenge that. Don't risk it. Seek the Lord before it is too late. Nathan may ask, have you got to know yourself as a rebel? They become a wonder for you that the Lord Jesus Christ said, repent ye, why would ye die? The wonder that God, in that sense, receives all the honor and glory, that he is exalted to the highest, be abased to the lowest, that's precious. Those days, those times, that God is everything and we are nothing, that all glory and honor is unto him. Because you know what? In eternity, the Lord had two thoughts, or many more, two thoughts. In the first place, to create the world, the universe. The people would stand and say, what? Did God make this? Is he the designer? Is he the architect? Could he make this out of nothing? I'm just aghast. I'm stunned. The power. The wisdom of God was one of the purposes of God when he created the universe. It was something else about it in mind. It's kind of hard. God wanted to show more of him. And he has predestinated his people to the adoption of children. To the praise, now listen to this, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Do you understand that? God wanted to show grace. He wanted to show more than creation. He wanted to show that he can forgive. So people would say, no, really? Can he? Is he willing to forgive? A holy, righteous God, forgive? What a glorious grace. How glorious that grace is. And God said, that's why the Lord continues with his work. To the praise of the glory of his grace. That eternity would be too short to glorify God because of the glory of His grace. So the Lord is still saving people. Not for you, not out of pity. For His own glory, for His own name. And that's a solid foundation for salvation. You can be saved to God's honor, to the glory of His name. Amen. Almighty and most precious God, what a word out of Thy holy testimonies is something we cannot fathom, something of Thy righteousness and Thy goodness for rebels. Who could have thought that God would be like that? Lord, make it amazing grace in our hearts. May we see it, Lord. May we come to that place that we are nothing but dust and ashes, sinful dust and ashes, and the Lord is everything. Open the hearts, that many may be wounded. There also may be balm poured out in those wounds of the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel. Remember, Lord, us this week. Those are our plans, our thoughts. Give traveling mercies also to one of the deacons, bring safely back home. Many more traveling, we suppose. Remember, Lord, in Thy great goodness, this entire congregation, as it is also preparatory week, may we all turn to our inner chamber and examine our own hearts, and may it be a longing work by Thy Holy Spirit to sit at the table with Thy people, to remember the death, the glorious death of the Son of God. Lord, we ask in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name alone, amen.